We need some balance.
I'm going to open a public hearing regarding Local Law B. This is Local Law amending Chapter 32 of our county code regarding Code of Ethics. Is there anyone here to speak on that matter? Seeing no one, I'll close the public hearing and ask you to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call of members.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Present.
Mr. Siegler has asked to be excused. Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank has also asked to be excused. Ms. Chalk?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused as well. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. Mackesy?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne? Mr. Proto?
Here, and I have proxies from everyone that's asked to be excused.
Yeah.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Here.
11 members present.
I have two proclamations. I don't know if Danielle Conta is here from COFA. Why don't you come on up and I can start reading it. This is regarding Older Americans Month in Tompkins County. Whereas Tompkins County is a community in which over 12,000 citizens aged 60 or older make their home, and whereas older adults in Tompkins County and throughout the U.S. are a growing population with evolving needs, and whereas older Americans are valuable members of our society who are rich with experience and deserving of our respect, and whereas the number of baby boomers reaching traditional retirement age continues to increase, a fact that spotlights the need for increased attention to the needs of older adults, and whereas our older citizens of today and tomorrow promise to be among the most active and engaged older adult population in our nation's history, and whereas it is the responsibility of this and all United States communities to work together and prepare for changing older adult populations by modernizing systems of care, providing consumers with more control over their lives, and whereas overall quality of life can be greatly enhanced when supportive communities help their older citizens obtain evidence-based approaches to making behavioral changes that can reduce risk of disease, disability, and injury, tools to make informed decisions about and gain better access to existing health and long-term care options, and more options to avoid placement in nursing homes and remain at home as long as possible. Now, therefore, I, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim May 2008 as Older Americans Month in Tompkins County. You can say a few words.
I just want to thank the legislature for celebrating Older Americans Month with us and recognizing it with the Office for the Aging. Thank you.
Thank you. Another proclamation regarding Mental Health Awareness Month is David here. Whereas all Americans from combat victims to flood victims to victims of accident and violent crime such as rape or mugging are vulnerable to chronic mental health problems. And whereas post-traumatic stress disorder, chronic depression, traumatic brain injury, and suicide attempts account for mental health problems for approximately 17.8% of Americans each year, these chronic mental health problems without adequate intervention and treatment also lead to loss of quality of life, loss of income, loss of familial and social support, causes chronic depression, and leaves those individuals with unremitting disability. And whereas veterans and demobilized military, including reserves and National Guard, are now judged to suffer from clinical depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury between 2 and 3 times more often than civilians, according to a 2008 study by the RAND Corporation, that is, 36% of returning troops suffer from the above mental health disorders, with female service women accounting for even higher rates of post-traumatic stress disorder and depression than their male counterparts. Whereas more than 32,000 suicides occur in the United States each year, or 89 people die by their own hand in this country every day, it is estimated that of these 89 people, 18 are veterans and former military personnel. And whereas frequently people do not seek mental health help or counseling due to fear of being stigmatized or suffering loss of livelihood. And whereas research and experience has shown that with appropriate intervention and treatment, individuals can return to being healthy and productive members of our community. Now, therefore, I, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim May 2008 as Mental Health Awareness Month in Tompkins County.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to actually move up the Youth Distinguished Youth Award before privilege of the floor for the public because the family has some commitments they have to get to. Jim?
I have privilege to award the Distinguished Youth Award this month in Tompkins County to a group called the David Nisanchek Memorial Lecture Series Group that was formed in 1984 as a result. This is one of those things, something bad happening and something good coming out of it. Back in those days, I was on the city council representing the Third Ward, and there's been a long-standing sort of tradition that young people would use Six Mile Creek to swim, and near graduation, Cornell students do it all the time. And David Nisanchek was graduating in the spring of 1983, I believe, and he had a tragic accident and lost his life over there. And these young people back then started this group, and it's continued for 25 years. And this evening, they are going to be getting together soon after we do this ceremony at the Moakley House and kind of reminisce and have a dinner about all of this. And I think that that obviously is a really good thing to do. And when I was looking for a group, I thought, as a former teacher in the Ithaca School District, I find I get a lot of pleasure in doing this, particularly. I don't think I ever had any of these children as I was a teacher, but I was at Northeast for many years, and clearly some of the names I recognize and also the teachers involved. Eileen Bach is an English teacher at Ithaca High, and then another young woman named Mary Therese Bowen was also active in this organization. And I'm sure there are others that I'm leaving out. The young people were recommended by Mr. Charles Crampton, and he noted at his recommendation that one of his children was in the group, which is okay. We don't really hold grudges here. We're looking for people that do good things in the community, and we love to give the award. So let me just mention the children that are here, young people that are here. All of you can come up and come up along this side of the room, and let me just say some of the people's names that are here this evening. They have their name tags on. And a couple of questions I have. Tim Crampton is here, and we'll do it. Amy Gollinger, Casper Kuhn, Laura Komar, Zach Montague, Alexander Son, Marion Toho. I don't know if she made it. You didn't make it? Okay. Okay. Joan Whitmore, Nate Winans, and did I miss anyone? No, I didn't. There they are. We will give a plaque. And I think what I've managed to be able to do, and who wants to accept it? What we managed to do also is put together
box of goodies.
A piece of paper. I can't even think of the word to help me. A certificate. Yeah, right. with a gold stamp and signed by Kathy and myself, and that is part of a book that they will be putting together. It's already put together, and they'll be looking at it at the awards, and not at the dinner this evening. It's not an awards dinner. At any rate, let me just say one thing. As we all know, this award is given by Bangs Ambulance, the Tompkins County Legislature, Cougar Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and AB Awards and Engraving. They're the organization that puts it together. So if you would all like to say something, or some of you, that would be great.
I'll just say this is a great honor for us, and I'd like to thank especially Ms. PB, Ms. Pasquale Bowen, who's been the head of this for as long as it's been around, and to the Nisanchuk family, who I guess endowed this in the beginning and starts it all. So thanks to them and everyone else.
Anyone else?
I would say that the Nisanchuk Committee is a really great program. It brings up a lot of really good controversial topics at IHS. I think people enjoy them every year, come out and get to bring up new ideas that they're not seeing in their everyday classes. And I think it's a really great way to commemorate Dave Nisanchuk.
Jim, can one of you describe some of the topics of the lecture series or some of the speakers? Because
We're also supposed to present this to you. It's sort of the the history of the entire event. It's got all the topics and their itineraries on it. You can see.
Oh, perfect.
I guess we can flip through it. Yeah.
Use the mic.
Oh, sorry. This is the itinerary of the past 25 years that it's been going on for. It has all the topics. As you can see, I'll just do the last couple of years. Starting in 2001, there was Liberty and Justice for All, Inequity in America. That was 2001. Then there was Fast Food in the Not-So-Happy Meal the next year. Talking about fast food, obviously. And then in 2003, Liberty and or Security in the Age of Terrorism, sort of letting people know, obviously, in post-9/11 America, what's been going on. Then 2004, Sports in America, Touchdown or Fumble. And 2005, America, What's It to You? Sort of a topic all about America, I guess. Who's in it? What's going on? That was a very popular one, I guess. And then a celebration of American culture. I think that was very similar. That might have been the same year. And then 2006, Iraq, Culture, Politics, and History and Conflict. That was very, with the war and everything. And then 2007, You and the Law. And then 2008, this year, it was A Quarter for Your Thoughts, 25 Years of Change. Sort of going back over the past years. And I guess we're presenting this to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Thank you all for coming, and also the parents that are here, and the principal of IHS is here also. And we really enjoyed giving this award, and you know, keep up the good work. And I think it's a wonderful adventure that you've set out on.
Thank you.
And we have a box of gear that you can all divide. And I think Kathy, if go ahead and take that. T-shirts and other things. And if there's a shortage, we can get more. So I appreciate you coming down here, and you will make it back to your dinner on time, I think. Thank you.
In addition to the young people, thank you for all the administrators who came out.
Don't they have to come back in 25 years and
I sure
do
hope
this
so.
Again?
They'll be at this table, hopefully, in 25 years. We're going to move to our privilege of the floor for the public. As the room clears out, we have two people who've signed up to speak. First, we'll have Mary Perry. You could use the mic, and we have a three-minute time limit.
As you said, I'm Mary Perry. Is this good? I'm Mary Perry. And in the past 4 years, my husband and I have sponsored over 50 Burmese refugees. They don't call it Myanmar, and neither do we. We've sponsored them to come to Ithaca. And I want to go on public record just to say how relieved we are that WIC is going to be maintained under the Tompkins County Health Department, and especially in the location with the health department, and I'll tell you why. Helping our refugees navigate the social service system has been profoundly confusing to me. I never had to have social services myself, and I can't imagine how anybody can fill out the paperwork without having a high school or a college degree in English. I worked with them in every single thing. They could not understand a word of English when they came, none of the 50 plus. And then they had to attend meetings, appointments. They had to go to many different places. And, of course, they couldn't read. They could never have a driver's license because they couldn't ever take a test. They, of course, didn't have any cars. They couldn't even get on a bus because they wouldn't know what to do, how to get on the bus. They wouldn't know where to go to get to the meetings. I didn't know where to go to get to the meetings. They couldn't ask directions. It's all mind-boggling. And this is, of course, for people coming from another country. But that's why WICS co-location with the Tompkins Health Department was just absolutely fantastic. It was had such a positive impact on these families, because in one location, the moms could get their prenatal and postnatal care. They could have their immunizations. They could have advice. Most of these women didn't even know what these vegetables were that we have in America. They knew about cauliflower. That was the only vegetable they really knew, and I think there was one other, green beans. But they knew nothing about any other vegetable. And so these professional people who serve in WIC were just tremendous help to them. And I will say it was just effortless to go into the health department and find all of the resources that they needed. So I am just so relieved that we'll be able to have them. And I just want to say that I want this to go on public record that this is a fantastic program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And we have Emily Levitt that signed up.
Thank you very much. This is my first time here, and I just finished my PhD research in Afghanistan, and I have a whole new appreciation for functioning democracies, so I'm happy to be here on that note. But I would also like to go on the public record for the good work for the support that I feel towards the WIC program in our county, because I wanted to think locally and act globally a bit more than vice versa, which we often hear. But I saw this as a great opportunity to get involved locally. So I'll just read what I have so I can keep to the 3 minutes. My name is Emily Jackson Levitt, and I speak today as a public health nutritionist with an MS degree from Cornell's Community Nutrition Program. Because I have a passion for preventive medicine due to the cost savings and quality of life improvements it produces for households and nations, I'm also near completion of my PhD in Cornell's Program for International Nutrition. My interest in public nutrition was born out of a year spent in rural South America, where I witnessed many households going deeper into poverty when they could no longer afford soaring health care costs. Many of these costs were preventable if only they knew of good nutrition. That is what motivates me to be here today, because the economic crisis facing low-income people is not so different in Tompkins County. My perspectives are further based on experience working at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in their maternal and child health and nutrition office, UNICEF, and the UN Food and Agriculture Organization. It is great news to hear that Tompkins County has agreed to retain management of the WIC program within the health department rather than to transfer management to another organization. Given that nearly one of four families in our county meet the income eligibility cutoff for WIC and participate in this program, it's clear that there is a critical need for WIC in our county. One of the cornerstone features of food shortages is desperation resulting in social chaos. With the rising cost of living, food prices, gas prices, and health care, and health insurance may or may not be available for many households, low-income families are at an increasing desperate situation and greater risk of cutting costs on food, resulting in lower quality food and less nutritious diets. UNICEF has stated that prevention of malnutrition is a state responsibility, whether in developed or developing countries. Good nutrition for women and children is a public asset akin to roads that safeguard a society and provide long-term investment benefits to the whole population. Well-nourished women are at less risk of having adverse pregnancy outcomes, and well-nourished children grow and develop better and perform better in school. Children that are healthier result in fewer sick days for both students and patients, and days off work to care for children for parents. Children who perform better in school are less likely to drop out and become delinquent, which has been shown. Many people in prison haven't graduated from high school. Better educated children become more economically active in their teens and adult years, growing the tax base. The WIC program gives each child in our county a greater opportunity to achieve his or her academic and economic potential and creative potential. Private organizations don't have the profit motive to maintain top caliber service and no commitment beyond a contract to continue providing services. For these reasons, I request and support that the county continue to retain WIC program in the hands of the county health department because it will provide the best sustainability for the health and well-being of our county's most vulnerable mothers and children. And everyone deserves a chance at a better life. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak under privilege of the floor? If not, we'll move to privilege of the floor for legislators. Martha.
Thank you. Mary and Emily, I'll say this to you and to anybody else who might be listening from among the many, many advocates we heard from the last couple weeks about the WIC program. I am also glad that there was a solution, that it seems to provide the resources that the department's going to need to carry out the program. I would urge that you and the other advocates for these important services pay attention to the rest of our budget cycle this year. We're likely to be having to cut, or at least facing decisions about cutting, many, many vital services. And whether there are county jobs directly involved or not, we're going to be facing some really hard choices. And I hope all the people who've spoken up in favor of these kinds of services won't let that advocacy die just because this one program was saved. So, thank you. I would like to just remind everybody that June 1st is the party for Tim Joseph that we've set up as a thank you and congratulations and just to even check in. How are you doing, Tim? 4:30 until dark at Stewart Park's Large Pavilion. RSVPs to Jim Dennis over there. He's going to collect your responses and your $8 per person. To cover chicken and salad and drinks, and we'll be hoping that people will bring a potluck as well. So it's going to be perfect weather, we're sure. That's the weekend we usually have the Ithaca Festival at the Stewart Park, so there's no festival until later in June. Come on out to celebrate Tim's career with the county. The Solid Waste Department is helping out with compostable utensils and plates and compost stations so you can even recycle the bones from your chicken and everything else. So it's going to be a waste-free potluck. So we'll be sending out an email about it. Anybody interested can contact me or Jim or Mike or Carol. And we've been working on this party, so.
Thank you. Thanks for all your organizing. Pam.
Yes, I just wanted to report that today I took a trip to Syracuse. Nathan went also, and we had several representatives from Tompkins County to talk to the head of the Department of Transportation, Astrid Glynn. And we met with she and a large number of DOT officials to talk about the future plan to create a sort of a hierarchy of roads in New York State, basically trying to come up with a solution to all of the garbage trucks that are going through our towns. We gave her an earful in terms of our experiences and the experiences of the people who we represent. There were mayors from Ithaca, Palmyra, Trumansburg, Skinny Atlas, and then there were a bunch of supervisors, town supervisors, and county. There were a few county legislators there. It was a very, very good and interesting meeting, and you know, the proof is in the pudding, or the devil is in the details, so we have to wait to see. We take your choice of cliches, but we'll have to wait to see what comes along here in the end, but it felt like we were definitely making progress at the meeting today, and we believe that there will be something in place. The first phase of this, which of course, you know, the way that it works, I think it's even longer and more complicated than what we do in terms of public hearings and public input and the process that it has to go through. So it's not going to happen tomorrow, but they are supposed to have something, a preliminary piece in place by the 1st of June. So it's very exciting, and we just can't walk away from it, though. We all have to keep our eye on it to make sure that it actually happens.
Thank you for attending and representing us. Julie.
Well, while you were at your meeting, I was at the ITCTC meeting, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which had a much smaller than usual attendance from state DOT because they were up where you were. Nevertheless, at this meeting of the policy committee, there was a motion to gladly, happily, strongly support the process by which the Cornell Community Initiative on Transportation has been handled. Fernando de Aragon has convened the meetings of the relevant municipal representatives, and there's a list of more than two dozen projects to be addressed over this a 10-year period. Everyone there was very impressed with how it has come together so quickly. The last remaining step to make it happen is for Cornell's top administration to sign off on it, and then the first money should be available by July 1st of this year. So it's a very positive outcome so far.
Anyone else? Ty Grandall?
I just wanted to remind Groton people that tomorrow is the assessment grievance day at 3 to 6 o'clock at the Groton Town Hall. And also tomorrow night at the McLean Fire Station at 7:30, there's going to be a meeting talking about McLean, the highway improvements and the bridges, and the place to get the public to participate in the process. So.
Thank you. I have Frank, then Nathan, then Martha again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the announcement, too, Ty. Tomorrow is the grievance in Danby from 3 to 6 also. We all received a letter yesterday in our boxes with regard to the POW MIA flags. And I wanted to dispel the message that was in that letter. First by saying that the POW MIA flag is not particular to the Vietnam War. It is to bring recognition and awareness to all the prisoners of war and missing in action from World War II forward. And I have some numbers that I'd just like to read to you so we can get them in the record. There are approximately 80,000, now they would be missing in action, 80,000 World War II veterans that are still missing. There are approximately 8,000 Korean War veterans that are still missing. I gave you this number at the last meeting, 1,761 Vietnam veterans that are either POW or MIA. There's one Gulf War individual that's missing, and there are three Iraq War individuals. The names of them are Mr. Foudy, Mr. Jimenez, and Mr. Altini. I'm sure that their families would be very dismayed if the flags were to come down, and I certainly wouldn't be supportive of that because I was instrumental in getting them up on our buildings. Those flags are not a political statement. They are a humanitarian statement. And any municipality that's flying them agrees with the governments of the various countries and our own that this is a humanitarian issue. It's not a political issue. And the letter, I'm sorry to say, made this a political issue. Our government continues to work on getting the remains of anyone who's discovered back to this country and to their families. And hopefully we'll be able to return some of the individuals who are, POWs at this point. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood the import and the impact of those flags. And I just like to say once again, it is not particular to the Vietnam War. It covers every one of these situations. In that same vein, just like to remind you that this coming weekend is Memorial Day. I'm sure Tim Ashmore is and the Ithaca Journal are going to do a wonderful calendar of events, particularly the parade in Dryden and other events that are going on, so that anyone that wishes to attend certainly can attend. And I'm on a little different note. Jim, I don't have a report on NYSA for you this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Nathan?
I was reading the Albany Times Union today, and there was a story about the Property Tax Commission that's led by Nassau County Executive Tom Swasey, and that report's not coming out until June 3rd, but I thought I would give a little brief summary of what they're going to be proposing from what I read. And I guess there's going to be three kind of areas or priorities that the Property Tax Commission is going to be talking about in its study. The first one is a property tax cap. Obviously a very controversial issue throughout New York State. The second is the circuit breaker idea, the one that was pushed by the Fiscal Policy Institute and the Working Families Party that Martha and Dooley and Carol have talked about in the legislature before. And that's basically the policy that provides for a circuit breaker for property taxes so that based on income, so that once you pay a certain amount of property taxes, the circuit breaker kicks off and then, don't have to pay for the rest or something. I forget exactly how it works, but if you can tell me if I'm wrong. And then the third part of it is reducing state mandates and actually having the state absorb those state mandates from the ones that they've pushed upon us. And so it sounds like it's going to be a very interesting report. It comes out June 3rd. It will definitely be a discussion topic for legislators, both local all the way up to the state level. And we should look out for it. And I think when it comes out, put out an official position on it as well.
Thank you, Nathan. Martha, then Greg.
Thanks for that, Nathan. I hope somebody can come up with a simple way to describe the circuit breaker proposal. That would help in its moving it along. I just want to say that Kathy Covert and Irene Stein have been helping to organize the party for Tim. I just didn't want to suggest that people should bother them with questions, what I said before. And if anybody's actually listening to us right now, they can have till 9 o'clock to vote in school board elections for school budgets and school board candidates.
And Greg Stevenson.
At the last Government Operations Committee meeting, one of the things I asked assessment staff to help me with was getting accurate information to my constituents regarding the annual versus triennial assessment. I meant to call Valeria to thank her and her staff for the document that they put together. The assessment staff came prepared to the Newfield Board of Assessment Review last week with the document. It's the second page of the three-page document that's in your red folder under the Department of Assessment letterhead cover. But it was a great document for me to use with my constituents in talking about this issue. Hearing more input from constituents who understand the issue, or at least understand it as best as we possibly can help them to understand it, is critical to me in forming my opinion on this issue. But I didn't get to call Valeria and thank her on the phone, so I'd like to thank her and her staff for putting this together. I thought it was invaluable.
Thank you, Greg. Mike Hattery, did I see your hand? Did you want to speak?
I'm hesitant. Martha said that people could vote till 9, and I would say we could vote tonight if we get out of here.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's good. Thank you.
Any other comments or privileges on the floor from legislators?
As long as we don't get stopped going to the polls.
I think we're ready to move on.
Right.
I see no one from municipal officials here. No special topics or presentations, so I'll brief chair's report. In your red packets, I've included a confidential, secure website regarding the county administrator search. We've had three meetings now, so agendas are there, minutes and summary notes, supporting documents. And as we go along, you can access that any time of day or night in terms of where we are in the process. I also wanted to remind people that tomorrow, maybe Nathan's going to do this under his budget report, but tomorrow at noon we have a TC3 budget meeting, and after this meeting, if people want to carpool, we can get together and figure out where to meet. And finally, in this legislature last fall, under a budget regarding court attendance, and would we pay a little bit more for court attendance because of the living wage issue if that state-mandated role in our courthouse, that payroll goes through Tompkins County, how we'd handle that, because they're presently paid lower than a livable wage. We've been kind of going back and forth on that issue. Would we bring all court attendants up? Because at this juncture, one court attendant is up for appointment and has to go through our hiring process. At this juncture, we've determined that it's best not to upset the entire state system of how they pay court attendants, but to continue to pay court attendants on their pay scale. And then on an annual basis, when Anita Fitzpatrick has to certify that all employees of Tompkins County get a livable wage, she will qualify that statement by saying all employees of Tompkins County except the one employee who is a pass-through for the state. So that's the place we've landed, and that posting, I believe, will be circulating, and maybe an appointment will happen in a few weeks. That's the end of my report. Let's see. Do we have a report from County Administrator?
No reports.
And County Attorney, Jonathan?
Because I want to make sure Frank isn't stopped getting to the polls, I won't give a report.
And David Squires, Finance Director.
Just wanted to report that I did provide to the county, the clerk of the legislature, our annual report. I wanted to make sure that people recognize we're a green county. This will be followed by the county audit report, which won't be available until sometime in July. Another issue is the county was awarded, we got notified this week, $25,000 grant to study the feasibility of a countywide database for taxes, a repository so the public could go to one place to determine the status of tax items from all the taxing jurisdictions, which everyone in Shrub knows there's too many of. And finally, last meeting, I expressed my some reservations about the state government's budget, and I wanted to bring another item to your attention, that in the state budget there's a charge now to using the Office of General Services contracts. It's efficient for us to use state contracts, they're going to start charging 0.5% to participate in purchases. So immediately, the sheriff buys vehicles off the state contract, they're going to charge us for that privilege.
So David, you mean 0.5% for every purchase that we make? They give
the value of the purchase?
The value of the purchase?
That's what I understand, yes. A surcharge, basically.
Starting when?
Well, it's in the state budget, so I'm assuming April 1st.
Can we charge them for delay in making payments to the county?
Any other questions? Martha?
David, where did you get that grant from?
It's Real Property Tax Services. And actually, this is unique. We expressed an interest. They awarded us a grant, and they sent the money, and it's arriving tomorrow.
A check?
It's cash.
Can we charge them an administrative fee when we administer state mandated programs for them?
Jim Dennis.
Maybe I read in the paper or I heard on television that the poor governor
was put into the hospital because of migraine-like headaches.
He had acute glaucoma.
Apparently, he's going to go with the job. You know, so I feel bad for him, but I also feel very bad for him.
Mr. Chair.
Frank Carter.
Jim, you just reminded me seriously, a very sad other item. Some of us heard, I'm sure some of you heard today about Senator Kennedy, and it's apparently worse than what they thought it was, so because of the tumor that they found. So say a prayer.
Martha.
David, do you know whether that charge on state contracts is, are school districts and towns and cities also being charged that, or just counties?
We move on to whether there's resolutions to add or withdraw from the agenda. I believe there's an appointment to add, right?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add the appointment of Michael J. McLaughlin, Jr., with regard to the Tompkins County Board of Health.
And are there resolutions to be withdrawn? Nathan?
I'm withdrawing Resolution P, recommendation to discontinue sponsorship of women, infants, and children program.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I need a second for Nathan's, for Frank's adding to the agenda. Mike Hattery, all in favor of adding to the agenda? Any opposed? That's added. You don't have to vote on withdrawing it.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Frank.
I'd like to, is Nathan's done?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to withdraw Resolution J, appropriation from contingent fund for Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Explanation, we decided at the Budget Committee that there's a few more questions that need to be answered, and we'll have that information by the next Budget Committee meeting. So I'd like to withdraw that for this evening.
Okay. Any other items to be withdrawn? Okay, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. These are items which can pass in a single vote and hopefully non-controversial. First, I'll read the appointments, and then we'll go through, I guess it's basically A through I on your agendas. To the Mental Retardation Developmental Disabilities Subcommittee, Lisa Moore. To the Fire, Disaster, and EMS Advisory Board, David Putnam. To the Library Board of Trustees, Chris Centurico, and to Board of Health, Michael McLaughlin, Jr. The resolutions on consent under Health and Human Services Committee, we have Resolution A, Budget Adjustment, Office for the Aging. Under Government Operations Committee, Resolution B, the Negative Declaration of Environmental Significance, relating to Resolution C.
Off.
And we have Resolution C, authorization to hold a conservation easement on tax parcel 7.111.1 on Breed Road, Town of Land.
That's the one I want off, not B.
Okay, so B is on, C is off. Okay.
Thank you.
That's a revised version. Resolution D, authorizing agreement for legal counsel.
Off.
On to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Resolution E, negative declaration of environmental significance relating to Resolution F, 2008. Resolution F, appropriating funds for capital reserve fund for natural, scenic, and recreational resource protection for a portion of the Hansen property.
Off.
On to Resolution G, scheduling a public hearing for additions to Ag District Number 1. This is east side of Cougar Lake. Resolution H, authorization to continue the home ownership program through use of program income funds. And Resolution I, amendment of Resolution 78 of 2008, funding for tourism marketing and advertising grants. Who'd like to move the consent agenda? Tyke moves it. Frank seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. And because of staff here tonight, why don't we start with Government Operations Committee, Mike Hattery, Chair, on the report and your resolutions.
At our last meeting, in addition to the items, some of which were on the consent agenda and aren't anymore, and some of which were never on the consent agenda, We also discussed, I had mentioned or warned you that we were going to talk about legislative salaries, and the committee decided to defer that discussion until August. We thought it was too early. And we also had a discussion about committee goals, and I'll probably talk a little bit more about that after our next meeting. I now have, in terms of your objective here, Mike, we ought to deal with, first of all, the resolution M, mm-hmm. directing the Tompkins County Department assessment to value real property in the county in one-year intervals, which supersedes resolution number 271 of 2006. And I so move or introduce second. That.
And Frank Proto seconds. Is there discussion? Mike Hattery.
I just wanted to let you know that we tried to work closely with the department on this to get clarity as to whether we were going to go to one or stay with three by May, so that they can proceed with the kinds of planning and actions they need to take in the coming year. I guess you all have information about what this means fiscally to go to 1 year as opposed to three. We'd lose roughly $300,000 over 3 years if we stayed in the three-year cycle. And thirdly, moving to 1 year very much jives with my experience on being on a local assessment review board. I've found that in general, the three-year cycle has left a lot of people confused. I had a number of people this year who said they would have grieved last year if they would have understood what their full value really was. So,
further discussion. Nathan Shinigawa.
All I'm going to say is that this is an issue that is very near and dear to me because it was the first issue I ever worked on the legislature. I was pushing for keeping it an annual, and it was a great experience, and that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Nathan. Jim Dennis.
I'm going to say I voted the other way 2 years ago, and I frankly should have listened to Nathan. But
and
I voted for 3 years, and I confess I've seen the error of my ways. So I'm going to support this.
I didn't mean to do like an "I told you so" or anything. I really didn't. I just wanted to say that it was the first thing I ever worked on, and that's it. That's it. Really.
Martha Robertson.
Well, I'll say something like that. I think I used the word experiment when I voted for 3 years last time, and I think it is really confusing, and I hope that this works.
Craig Stevenson.
I will. I'm in the same boat, Jim. As I guess I voted for the triennial assessment in 2006, and I did so for one reason only, and that's what all of my constituents that talked to me about this issue said they wanted. It's as simple as that. And I will vote to support the annual revaluation. I think it's probably clearly the fairest. The document that I spoke of earlier that Valeria generated, Valeria and her staff generated, was fairly helpful. I had some input in Newfield in favor of the annual assessment, but there's still a lot of opposition. The bottom line is folks were looking for some sort of way to prevent their property taxes from skyrocketing every single year. And we have a hand in being able to do that, not through something like this, but exercising as much fiscal restraint as we can is something that will get us to that end. And with that, I'll support this resolution.
Thank you. Tyke Randall.
Recognizing Nathan's, I'm not sure what word to use. I was going to say immaturity, but that wouldn't be fair.
Oh, wow! Dang.
Age. How's that? I'll step up to the plate and say I told you so, I guess, okay? I did vote against it the first time. Though I can say it was certainly a hard decision at the time, and I think originally I was leaning towards supporting it and changed my mind at the 12th hour, I guess. But I can honestly say that I think that the assessment department did a great job in getting information out there that made that transition palatable for most people. And I was kind of surprised. I haven't had my assessment grievance day yet. That's tomorrow. but I have asked around to other people that have been there. I think they were mostly pleasantly surprised that the turnout wasn't, you know, flooding the grievance process, because people, I think they realized, it gave them a little breath of air, and they realized that the 1 year is the most equitable in the long run. And I thank the assessment department for providing that insight.
Other discussion, Dooley, and then Frank?
I'm just so pleased we're going back to annual. We know it works. It's what our county was known for doing for a long time, and the state thought it was great when we did it, and I'm glad we're back.
And Frank Proto.
Nathan, I'm glad in one regard to see that you're at the receiving end of Tyke's age-related remarks. Often I'm at the receiving end of his remarks. But I also want to recognize that several years ago when we entered this process, some of us were very supportive of staying with the one-year annual. And I agree with Dooley and whomever else that this is going to be less confusing for our constituents. It certainly is. We had a kind of a whopping turnout in Caroline last Wednesday, so it did create some consternation.
Mike Hattery.
I think it's been mentioned by a couple of people, but I do think that both the assessment department and our public information officers' efforts have been admirable. They've done a really good job both clarifying the assessment's role in the tax process, to the extent that that can be clarified, and, you know, and just doing a really good job at helping the public understand the issues.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution M as submitted?
Aye.
And those opposed? That's unanimous.
That's amazing.
Yes. We're going to move on. Mike, do you want to move the other three? Well, I think Ed might be here for a few of those.
I'll go to C.
Yeah.
Authorization to hold a conservation easement on tax parcel number 7.1-111 located on Breed Road in the town of Lansing. So moved.
And Dooley Keeper seconds. Is there discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Frank Proto.
First, you're going with the revised one, right, Mike?
Correct.
My comment on this one is the same as it will be on Resolution F, just so that we don't have to go through it twice. We were made aware at the Planning Committee meeting, I'd asked a question about approximately how much money does the Finger Lakes Land Trust have. And in two accounts, the total was approaching $1 million. And I think that in the future we ought to make sure that county tax money, with a tight budget coming up, if we're going to be looked upon to take property either off the tax roll, and I'm not saying that that's the case here, but if we're looking at that option, or if we're looking at county monies going into purchasing properties for as worthwhile a purpose as this may be, that we look twice, because organizations that are sitting on those kinds of funds can certainly purchase property, or at least purchase part of it and mortgage the rest, just like any homeowner would have to do. And that the whole point of my having those two pulled off is just to highlight that, because I think this is going to be a tough year, as Martha has already said and all of us recognize. Thank you.
So will we play that tape when Resolution F comes up? Dooley Keefe.
The land trust generally doesn't deal with something this small. And the cost to the county is just the cost of annual monitoring by a staff person, so it's a very low cost at the moment.
Wait till Resolution F, Dooley.
I'm talking about the Breed Road parcel.
Yeah.
Mike Hattery.
Just for clarification, we're going to hold the easement on F, on
C,
on Breed Road.
C, yeah. Conservation.
On the Breed Road parcel.
Yes.
Until the...
Yes, Frank.
Until the second resolve comes up. It says that the tax parcel will be offered for sale encumbered by the easement. We will continue to hold the easement, but I think that we ought to alert the Finger Lakes Land Trust and any other organization that's interested that this parcel is going to be up for sale.
Martha Robertson.
Does this involve the land trust?
I just said that we were holding the easement on the Breed Road parcel.
Right. So this is, and this is going to be offered on the any buyer.
Public auction, yeah.
including the land trust. They're a potential buyer.
Sure, but any, I mean, lots of landowners have, private landowners have easements on their property for a lot of different reasons. So.
And this one was pulled from the auction in 2007 in the second whereas as described.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor of revised resolution C, please raise your hand. And opposed? That's unanimous. Move on to D. Michael?
Resolution D, authorizing agreement for legal counsel for the Health Benefits Consortium. So moved.
Is there a second? Martha Robertson. And Frank Proto.
The reason I had this pulled is I would like to have somewhere in the resolution, if we know it, reflect the cost per hour that these attorneys are going to be charging. Does anyone know that figure?
I have it somewhere. But
can we stick it in when you get a chance? I mean,
I know what it is.
Use your mic.
Yeah, various attorneys in the firm charge less, but the maximum is $220 an hour.
But that's not the. But what we actually are being, what we were quoted is actually is much lower than that, though. I'm this is off the top of my head, but it wasn't over $200 on a live.
When you get, can you give it to Kathy when you find out? I mean, that's. I'll support this.
Yeah. And also, it was in terms of price, it was one of the most competitive of all firms.
Okay.
So, yeah, just
any thanks. Further discussion? Ready to vote? Resolution D. All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. And I think, Michael, we have one more. Resolution L.
Yeah, regarding the public hearing we had tonight, Resolution L is with regard to adoption of Local Law Number B of 2008, Local Law Amending Chapter 32, Section 32-3I of the Tompkins County Code of Ethics. And I so move.
And Dooley Kiefer seconds. Is there discussion? Martha?
This is the revised.
Yes.
Further discussion. We have revised wording by Jonathan Wood. Is there any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? Make sure everyone has the right paperwork in front of them. We're about to adopt the local law. All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Mike and...
Actually, I had one other item from our committee's work. One of the perks of GO is that we get to consider resolutions regarding the conduct and operation of the legislature as a whole. We briefly discussed the concept of putting together a resolution which would limit the time of individual legislators after our last meeting, particularly after our last meeting, that would limit the time of individual legislators during the legislators' privilege of the floor. We decided not to take action on that, but we're kind of monitoring.
So it's a warning. Thank you, Mike. Can planning develop an environmental quality report next?
Thank you, Mike. Committee met on May 8th, and... there are a number of resolutions on the agenda, and then some for next meeting also. Just about the meeting, I'll mention just a couple of things. We talked about, Dooley mentioned the transportation initiative in cooperation with the with Cornell. We talked quite a bit about, quite a bit about the housing initiative, including the Housing Trust and Affordability Fund, and got a lot of documentation from Ed and Jean Lassess, and expect to be voting sort of formally on the program next month. The It's been a little more complicated with housing because there's no council like there is with the Transportation Council. So I think I would just go through the resolutions. So I want, I'm trying to find what went off consent.
Yes.
Okay. Resolution F, appropriating funds from the Capital Reserve Fund for Natural, Scenic, and Recreational Resource Protection for a portion of the Hanson property in the Lickbrook Carter Initiative. I so move.
Is there a second? Pam Magasey, seconds.
I want to thank Ed for providing the beautiful maps in your red folders. I guess after three or four meetings of why are the colors so confusing, we've gotten it right, and I think this is a very important initiative. So.
Nathan.
I'm sorry, this isn't about this resolution.
Okay.
But just going back on that, on the legal counsel thing, yes. Actually, Jonathan was right that the max for the max is 220, but the people that work on it can be of all different sorts of positions inside of the firm. Those are for your senior partners and whatnot,
yes,
that will be working on it. So, but as I said again, it was one of the most competitive firms during that discussion. Just wanted to make that clear. I don't know if that changes anybody's vote, but.
No, I think that's similar to what everyone heard before they voted.
Okay. All right, great.
Are there any further discussion on Resolution F? Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pardon me. The reason I had this one pulled off was the fifth whereas, same comment as Resolution C. Ed Marks assured us that, or commented, I guess as much as anyone can assure us, that this was probably the last piece that the county would financially participate in with regard to Lickbrook for some time. But I still want the record to reflect that the Finger Lakes Land Trust in the fifth whereas has requested financial support from the Capital Reserve Fund. And I'd like to remind the board that this board, that the total approximate dollar amount that the Finger Lakes Land Trust has in its accounts is something approaching $1 million.
Thank you. Carol Chalk.
I just like to say that anybody who isn't familiar with this area of the county, I really urge you to go and walk along it and hike it. It's a true treasure. I'd say really on par with the state parks that are scenic areas that are maintained, you know, by the state, but we have our own beautiful little gorge and waterfall and stream there that in some ways provides a more unique experience because it is a little bit more private and out of the way feeling when you go to use it. And this is a real partnership with really a small public piece that unites a whole group of pieces of funding in order to preserve the last piece that makes the trail whole to go in and hike in there. And so I think that it's a nice use, and I urge you to go see it. We should do a field trip sometime.
Further discussion, Frank Proto.
Thank you. Carol, I appreciate what you said, and I'm certainly not opposed to preserving the land. This is the fourth or fifth parcel that's been purchased along this stretch that the county's participated in. I have some land out in Caroline that I'd like to have the county throw some money into, too. We have some stream bank restoration that we need to do, and I'd be happy to put that into the mix. And you're welcome to come out and walk that. But my only point is we're going to be facing a tight budget. We're going to be scrambling and looking at various accounts. And I think, as Martha said earlier tonight, too, that we really are going to have to scrutinize every program. And I think this the account that we're holding that generates this money could be one of them, too. I mean, I think, to be fair, we have to make sure that we're looking at everything. But please don't read that as my opposition to preserving the land.
And Martha Roberts.
At the risk of making it closer to the time the polls close, I wonder if we could take a minute. And Ed, if there are probably some new legislators here don't... the Capital Reserve Fund for Scenic Resources, could you just take a minute and tell us where that money comes from? It's not, I mean, sort of a set-aside pot of funds.
Yeah, the Capital Reserve Fund was originally established with rollover money, and all of the money in there is either rollover or funds we receive from purchase of land to state parks for preservation purposes. So that's the sources of the funds have been sale of county land to state parks and rollover.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote?
No.
Frank Carter.
But to further clarify it, Ed, if that money didn't go into the Capital Reserve Fund, where would it go?
It would have been used for departmental purposes, probably.
It probably would have become part of the general budget. Is that correct?
Well, it would have been used as rollover is usually used for a specific purpose outside the normal budgetary requirements of departments.
Thank you.
Ready to vote on Resolution F. All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. And Martha, on to N and O.
Resolution N, and as a revised version in your packet, delegating approval authority for certain tourism program grants.
Is there a second? Carol Chalk seconds.
And I want to thank Carol for the improvements in the language and some clarification. Just be happy to take questions or whatever.
Discussion. Frank, then Carol, then Dewey.
Two questions, and Martha, is can you tell us what the impact of this may be on the review that Mike Hattery asked for with regard to amending the county's receipt of the portion that the county receives? No impact?
I don't see it.
Okay, that's it. The other is, can you assure us that the chamber and the CVB contracts are not part of this resolution.
This refers to the grants that PBEQ reviews, specific applications from community groups.
So the chamber and CVB are not part of this resolution.
Right.
Could the minutes reflect what you just said, Mike?
Are not part.
And that those will continue to be reviewed by the. What the PDEQ committee or whatever the appropriate committee is.
That's right. And in any case, they're higher than $30,000.
Yes. And I think that's exactly why I asked the question. Thank you.
Carol Chalk and then Dooley.
I'm in favor of this resolution for several reasons, or three reasons. I'm thrilled that we have the extensive participation of a large and active panel of people on this and also on so many other committees, people who come and give of their time and effort to serve the county and the public in various capacity. And on these grants committees, I think there are, 8 or 10 of them at this point on the STPB, it is a particularly time-consuming and thoughtful process that people have to engage in. They receive, the committees receive packets that are 3, 4, 5 inches thick of thoughtfully prepared proposals in response to very specifically designed guidelines for each of the separate programs. Each of the 5 or 6 members of that panel then reviews that, thinks carefully about their priorities for the projects within each set of guidelines, and then come together for hours, I think a half a day, up to a half a day at a time, to reflect together, to read them, to review them, to rate them according to the fit with the criteria, the balancing of the needs across the community, the quality of the proposal, the sense of whether the group has the wherewithal to pull off the project that they're proposing. And they really do put in an incredible amount of time and effort to do that. And the process now calls for 3 layers above that. The each committee's recommendation comes to the full STPB, where it can be overturned with at least a little bit more discussion and a reference to the particular proposals in their packet. But then it comes to the PDEQ and the legislature, where these hours and hours of work that citizens have put in can be overturned based on a one-sentence description of the proposal. And unless we have a very good reason or have a reason, have ourselves gone and reviewed the extensive materials, my bias would be in favor of honoring and trusting the work of the people who've put in so many hours and given such thought to balancing the grants. I'm confident at this point, secondly, that the process that's been designed by the STPB in creating each of these grants programs, creating guidelines that specifically speak to each program, are now thoughtful, detailed, clear, and equitable to those who are applying, and that there's a process of evaluation, oversight, and review in place that I don't think we can top in, again, a few minutes of thought and looking at a list or even a one-sentence description of each of them. And then thirdly, I'd like to see the PDEQ and then when the legislature, when appropriate, take the similar amount of time that we're now spending on the list to look at, to be able to now take the time that we're confident that the process in place, that we spend the time looking at the policy and the trends and the impact of the programs themselves. So I'd like us to see us in the future move into a phase of doing that. So for those reasons, I support this resolution. I would also just point out that anything that is above $30,000, which amount was set because many of the programs have a cutoff of $25,000, in any case, and so this allows us to set an amount that that doesn't have us looking at some of the proposals and notions that are within a specific grants category without looking at others that fall below the amount. So for all those reasons, I'm in favor of this and urge you to vote for it.
Thank you, Carol. I have Dooley, then I'll speak, then Frank.
Well, I have two amendments I want to offer to this resolution. The first one is a really simple one, and it reflects my having sat through years of discussions of community celebration grants. It's the community celebrations where each of us as elected officials get to say something about the really nice things that we're using room tax money for our communities. It's ironic for me to say that because Cupid Heights never gets any of that money, but other communities it's really important to. And I would like to see us change the second resolved, which says any contracts and grants from the capital line and from the community celebrations line must have both program committee and legislative approval. So that's my recommended amendment.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the proposal. Could you say it again?
Say the amendment specifically,
yes.
Dooley?
To amend the second resolve to require that contracts and grants from program's tourism capital line item and from the community celebrations line must both have program committee and legislative approval.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis seconds. Is there discussion? Pam.
I thought the whole point of this was to streamline this so that only the capital lines would go through the program committee and legislature. I thought the this resolution was created to allow the other granting to not go through the program committee.
That's the point of the amendment.
Yes, I understand that was the purpose of this request from PDEQ, and I sympathize with the amount of time that their committee often takes on these grants. I think community celebrations are different in nature from all of the others that are, and so I would like to see those have to get blessed in a more complete, old-fashioned way.
Martha, then Mike Hattery.
Aren't those the smallest of
yes,
all
they
these
are.
Amounts?
And they shouldn't take you long at all.
Well, I would point out that the last resolve mentions the administration will provide to the legislature written quarterly updates to all tourism program activities, including grants awards. So that would provide you plenty of opportunity to check in with Jackie.
That's when it's already been granted. I'm talking about prior to the grant.
I would also point out that, actually, Julie, you're not on PDQ, so you don't have the opportunity of dealing with their long agendas. But this is not really about the agendas of the committee. It's more about, well, two things. One is shortening the time that it takes for the community organizations to get the money. At this point, because of committee and the legislature approval of everything, it adds, depending upon how the calendar falls, 4 to 6 weeks to, or maybe even more, to when STPB says yes to an award before the money's actually allocated. So it would really be very helpful to those organizations to get the money more quickly. And also, I think, as Carol suggested, that if the committee isn't dealing with these kinds of nitty-gritty issues, we can spend more time thinking about broader issues, about trends, sort of a strategic look at this kind of these expenditures, because it's a lot of money. And I think the grant programs that have been developed have been terrific, but in a sense they're reactive, is my sense of it, reactive to the kinds of applications that have come through. I would like to see the committee step back and be more proactive. Where do we want to go with this source of money? How do we want it to strengthen our community? So I don't see how we can do that kind of work without reducing the time spent on the $300 grants.
The amendment on the floor regarding community celebration wording. I have Mike Hattery. Then
can I respond to what Martha said?
Sure.
Martha, I want you to do what you just described. And in the spirit of that, let me just say, it's fine if EQ wants to skip the community celebrations. Let the legislatures in. Let it just come here and let us vote on those tiny little amounts of money. These are the political bonuses that we have, to put it bluntly. And I don't care if your committee reviews them or not. This has purely to do with why they're there in the first place.
The amendment on the floor excludes community celebrations from this entire resolution. I have Carol Chalk next.
Yeah, I don't have strong feelings if this got excluded. Some history is that celebrations grants were not originally part of the tourism program. They served the smaller, all the towns and activities in the city that are meant to celebrate the sense of place of places throughout the county. And the tourism board took it on in administration because it was asked by the legislature to do so. It had been funded separately. It was then asked to also pay for the program out of tourism funds, and it agreed to do so. If this one is seen in a different light, I don't have strong feelings about it. It does take up time, and certainly all of these programs, I would still want to see a good listing of the events, the dates, maybe a little explanation about why they were funded, come to us each year, regardless of what the approval process is. So that we're aware of them and can be letting our constituents know that the celebrations have been funded. So,
Mike Hattery, then Jim Dennis, and I want to go for a vote on the amendment.
I have a broader question, not on the amendment.
Okay, Jim Dennis.
We better vote, or I'm going to withdraw my second.
are we ready to vote on the amendment?
I hope it was a friendly with Jim that the amendment doesn't make these go through planning committee anymore, just the legislature.
I understand.
Well, the wording of your resolve change still makes it go through.
Yes,
so
that has to be changed.
Amend that wording.
I understand that.
Okay. For just the celebrations, not for tourism capital line. That will go through both committee and legislature.
Yes.
Okay. People understand what they're voting on.
No.
Martha.
Do we have anything like that that doesn't go through committee? Is that even part of the process? Legal, whatever?
Yep.
I mean, that would say that this program doesn't have committee review, just comes directly here.
This is the will of the legislature if we vote on this amendment. And there's a second amendment coming, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not clear what we're voting. Are we voting to have it come directly to the legislature and not through PD?
The wording for community celebrations would come directly to the legislature without going through committee. Are we ready to vote?
If that's what the committee chair wished, that's why I changed it.
Yeah, I have no interest in...
Okay. So we will... By?
Well, Kathy, because there's nothing really a legal issue in doing that. We don't really have a process to get it on the agenda, because under the rules, things come either from the committee or from individual members. So there would be a process issue of how it would get on the agenda if it did not go through a committee and wasn't an individual.
Well, I would propose that the committee chair, without going through the committee, would be apprised to put it on the agenda on this particular matter. So,
you know, that'd be fine. I'm not always going to be planning chair, I'm sure. So, but if that's the will of the board, we can work it out.
All in favor of this amendment as proposed, raise your hand. That's 5 in favor. Opposed? 7.
That's not possible.
That's not possible? Fails.
There are 11 people.
There's only 11.
Oh, we had 6 no's. I'm sorry. I counted incorrectly. 5 in favor and 6 opposed. That fails for lack of 8. Do you have another amendment?
Oh, I do. I do.
There's 12 people in here.
Okay.
Leslie came in since you count.
It's 5-7.
It didn't get 8 either way.
Right.
Yeah, the name. Try it again.
6-6.
Yes. It was 5 in favor and 7 opposed. Excuse me. Dooley, do you have a second amendment?
I do. Since discussion of these grants was fresh in my mind from our last legislative meeting, I remembered that everything that we voted on was under $15,000. And so $30,000 struck me as an extremely high number, and I wondered where it had come from. Tonight, for the first time, I heard Carol reference the fact that some grants are only up to $25,000, which says to me that $30,000 is probably high anyway. And based on our experience at last month's legislative meeting, I would like to amend the $30,000 down to $15,000.
In the first resolve. Is there a second?
In the first and the third resolves, both places.
Frank Proto seconds. Is there discussion? Martha, then Carol.
Well, I'll defer to Carol. I think you've got the information.
Carol?
Jackie. Yeah, I spoke to Jackie Kippola this afternoon, and she said that she could live with $25,000, that to make it anything below $25,000 means that there are certain grants programs for which you're leaving the committee deciding on certain of the items, the line items in the program, and not on others. And that would be a nightmare for her to administer and figure out how to present, and
are you,
not fair.
Well, are you
not
making
a nightmare. I exaggerate.
Are you proposing an amendment to the amendment? Are you proposing to change the number to 25?
So if you would change it to 25...
It's either friendly, or you propose an amendment to the amendment. Is it friendly, Dooley?
No, why don't you amend it?
Okay, I'll amend it to 25,000 if that...
Is there a second to the...
I would garner support.
Can I get some clarification? Yes.
Carol, I'm sorry, Pam is seconding the Carol Chalk amendment to the amendment. Martha?
If Jackie said that that certain grants have a limit of 25, are you saying that anything 25 and below, 25 and above gets reviewed, or above 25, because it matters?
certain of the programs allow proposals to come in the range of $0 to $25,000.
Okay. So the cap is 25. Is your? It sounds from what you said before that your what you really mean is anything over 25,000 would get committee review.
So in the first resolve, yes. It would be.
Thank you.
We could change the two. I think it's twice in here.
Yes.
Once or twice where it says 30,000, we could change that to 25,000.
Over
25,000. Yeah, 25,000 or more in the.
But it isn't. It includes 25,000. So you would want above
25,001.
In the first resolved, it would read all single year contracts and grants less than 25,000.
No, 25,000 or less.
That's. Yeah. No, in the first resolved, it would. The way that it was worded when I got it included. In the first resolve, less than $25,000, and then in the third resolve, it would be as contracts and grants from the program of $25,000 or more will be approved by the program committee. And
I don't think we're going to worry about a dollar.
Okay. Shall we leave it to?
It needs to be clear and
more than. Okay.
Right.
That's a friendly amendment.
Okay.
Okay, we're now discussing an amendment to an amendment about a $25,000 figure instead of 30. Is there discussion on that? Frank, Leslin, Martha.
This can also carry over to the discussion on the general resolution, but I want to ask Carol a question about, and I'm not sure you have these figures on the top of your head, but do you know how much is granted approximately each year that would fall into these categories, you know, the total amount that would be covered by one-year contracts and grants. Is there a number that comes to mind, like of the 2 million plus that the tourism money generates, the CVB/chamber gets something around $800,000 to $900,000. And the rest of the money is sprinkled among these various categories. Some of them are capital grants, which we're taking out of here. So what is your best recollection of how much would be represented by these grants that were given the STP authority for?
You know, my reaction is that if the STPB had staffing commensurate with the size of the program at this point, professional staff, that there would be somebody here to answer all of these questions as they came up. It is in the several $100,000 range, but I can't do. Would it be in the last month's minutes? Well, how much we approved?
No, we don't aggregate them like that.
Yeah.
If someone can come up with a figure in the next few minutes, please let us know. Otherwise, we're going to move on. Leslin?
Mr. Chair, before you went to the amendment, I was trying to get what was Dooley's amendment, and I did not hear it.
In general, it was changing from 30,000 to 15.
Thank you. That's all I need to say.
It's been amended to 25. Further discussion? I have Martha.
As long as we can make it clear, I'm fine with the above 25,000 being the
yes.
Review period. Review.
That's the intent. Greg Stevenson.
Once we started talking about staff and how they thought about this, it seems to me that this is stuff that needs to get hammered out in committee. So I'm not going to support any of these amendments to the amendments.
Yeah. I agree. I'm going to speak. I was going to wait until after the amendment process happened. I'm going to speak against the entire resolution, including the amendments. I believe that it is our duty to have fiscal oversight, and I believe that I want to keep that at the legislative level. Whether the committee wants to keep that or not is their decision. I also believe that eventually this program is under discussion to go to another agency for administration. And if that happens, we would lose that oversight as well. So, both those reasons, I'm not going to support any of these amendments or the entire resolution. Mike Hattery.
Why don't we I'll just hold until we vote on these amendments, because I'd rather not. I'd just like to get this out.
On the amendment to the amendment, $25,000 or more, depending on the language. Martha Robertson.
Greg, the committee discussed this, I think, at three separate meetings. These are coming from legislators on the floor or on the committee. I think that's perfectly appropriate, and, that's what we're here for.
Ready to vote on the amendment to the amendment? The number is 25,000. Are you ready to vote? All in favor of the $25,000 figure? That's two. Opposed?
I feel like you're twisting in the wind.
Opposed?
How about the undecideds?
I saw two in favor and nine opposed. Is one someone out of the room?
I didn't vote.
Oh. I vote for it. It's fine.
In favor of the 25.
Sure. Carol voted against it. I'll vote
that
for
failed,
it.
So we're now, that failed. So we're now back to 15. It's the original amendment. That was an amendment to an amendment. Any discussion further on 15,000, which is the original amendment?
Call the question.
You go back to 30.
No. Well,
if the 25 fails, you go back to the...
There was an amendment to your 15 amendment.
Yes. I'm sorry, you go back to the 15.
Yeah. Call the question. Are you ready to vote? Yes. All in favor of 15,000 as a threshold? Opposed? That fails 2 to whatever the remainder is, 2 to 10. We're back at the $30,000 threshold, the original wording. At this juncture, I believe nothing has changed in this resolution. Mike Hattery, then Frank Proto.
Whenever you're going to change policy, I think, it's hard to do it all at once. And I applaud the committee's efforts to try and go after this. But I guess I'd like a little bit more in the line of, We know what we'd be delegating here in terms of authority to spend that would not come in front of us. But what we don't have is a sense of what our role is going to be. And the other issue that's come up here that I thought might be part of the mix, and again, I appreciate the effort. And you can't do everything at once, but this whole issue of staffing and where this effort is going in terms of support is something that I think, at least in a phased way, ought to be considered as a part of how we reform this. Because it is a very big chunk of money. I think the number of that we're delegating here is more like, half a million. And soon to be not too long. It won't be too long before it will be a million. I guess I would. I'm kind of agreeing with Greg here that I'd like to have more of a sense of what are we going to see and what is our role going to be going down the road.
I have Frank next and Martha.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with your sentiments, and I'd like to ask if you're in a position to share what other agency. We didn't hear this at the committee. What other agency this responsibility might be passed on to? I'm not sure the committee is even aware of that.
I may be mixing up what I think. I've heard that there was consideration in the future of shifting this responsibility under the auspices of TCAD. Martha, then Mike Hattery.
It was probably a year ago when I looked at this and said, we're spending a lot of time on this at the committee. It's taking a lot of time. The volunteers are already spending, as Carol said, just hours and hours. And we are overturning their hours and hours of thoughtful work with pretty much no information. So it's taken a year to get to this point. The question of staffing, professional staffing, of whether to go to a different agency, of how, in fact, Gene McFeeters and I did talk about oversight of this 6 months ago. These things take a long time, and they should. That's fine. So I feel like this is kind of one little piece of a reform that puts us in the right position or in a better position with respect to this kind of financial decision. I would remind everybody that we do review at the program committee level and the board level the full budget. We get that, I think, in June or July. We get a full presentation. We get the breakdown of how much is projected to go into each program, each of the grants, how much is in the marketing versus the capital, and how much is in the overhead for CVB and the chamber. We do review the whole package. We absolutely do. This is not abdicating responsibility over the tourism dollars at all. So I would really urge that we do this so that the committee could spend time on the bigger issues related to tourism money instead of having, every time tourism comes up on the agenda, we spend 45 minutes going through a lot of detail.
Mike Hattery, then Pam McAsee.
No.
Pam?
Well, I was not aware that this was part of a larger plan to turn this all over to GCAD. And
there's no plan.
Well, I know, but I mean, it sounds as if that you have had some initial discussions about this, that in fact this is part of something, because I think that if that's the case, I mean, if there is somewhere somebody is talking about turning all of this over to TCAD, then I'm going to vote against this too, because I think this is going backwards. I think it would be silly for us to do this if we are thinking of making major changes to the whole relationships. I'm lost on this one now.
If I share misinformation, please correct me. Carol, then Martha.
There's absolutely no discussion about turning over authority to TCAD.
It's not authority, it's moving it into their agency.
Okay, I may have misspoke. Excuse me for even uttering it if it's incorrect. Martha.
Well, as far as I know.
Martha was reacting
to what Martha said.
Describing
a conversation with Gene McFeeters.
Yeah.
Martha.
I said, Gene, does this make sense? And she said, I don't know. Let's talk about what to do. That was about it. The way TCAD got involved in this was that it was related to Mike's idea of changing the distribution of room tax money, perhaps with the idea that economic development might be supported through room tax money to some small degree. So these things come up in conversations and people explore them, and you know, the only reason I would even say anything about this is that it was discussed at TCAD's board meeting last week. You know, I'm pretty sure it wasn't ready for prime time, but since you mentioned it, Mike, it's not something that's being done in the shadows. The point is, this is I'm looking at this as one piece of PDEQ's work that I feel like we are really micromanaging and second-guessing what much smarter people about this topic have decided. If there's any sort of... And if we get these $300 grants off our agenda, we could have some meaningful conversations about what is a good way to use the tourism money. Who really is the best in the position to do it? How might we support a program that right now has really outgrown the halftime that Jackie Kiple gives to it? So while we're still talking about $300 grants, we're just not able to have longer discussions about the bigger issues.
We're still talking about the revised agenda. There's been no amendments. Have Nathan, then Frank.
Well, if Frank has a comment, I will go right after Frank.
I think Frank was going to move something.
Well, let me make a comment, and then I'd like to move something.
Okay.
I disagree with Martha a little bit. My recollection is there aren't too many $300 grants. Quite a few of them are in four figures. And I've been reviewing them through PDEQ for a number of years. It does take time. Often there are questions, not perhaps on every one, but I think your comment, Mr. Chairman, about abdicating fiscal responsibility on a pot that continues to grow I didn't know anything about a discussion with TCAD or anything along those lines, but this makes me wonder if this is even ripe for consideration tonight. So I would like to offer that we either table or postpone to a fixed date, or you can rule to send this back to committee for more work. And I will follow your lead. If you'd like me to move a postponement to a particular date.
My preference actually is to vote tonight. So if you want to make a motion differently, please do so.
I'd like to move to postpone for 1 month to our second meeting in June so that we can have an opportunity to get our questions answered.
Is there a second? Nathan Shinagawa. Is there discussion on postponing? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of postponing until the second meeting in June? Looks like 7. Opposed? That's 5. That fails 7-5.
Call question.
I'd like to call the question, Mr. Chairman.
I see no opposition, so I'm about to call for a vote. All in favor of the resolution as moved tonight, not amended, please raise your hands and keep them up.
Didn't the 25,000 get amended?
No.
No, it failed.
Did not fail.
Oh.
Both number changes and wording changes failed.
Right. Okay.
All in favor of the resolution as amended on the table tonight?
No.
Wait. I mean, as revised, excuse me. I used the wrong word. As revised. All in favor, please raise your hands and
that's
keep them up.
That's the one that's in your folders with
that's
no
right.
changes from what's in
but
your
the folder. Colorful revised changes. 5. Opposed? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That fails 5-7. What do we do, John?
It's a moot point now, but there should be no discussion on Frank's motion to postpone.
Oh.
Just for discussion, fortunately, there wasn't any with their hands.
Okay.
Well, I've got one more. I hope it'll be quicker. Resolution O, appropriation from Contingent Fund International Council on local environmental initiatives, ICLEI membership.
Is there a second? Pam Magasey. These are discussion. Julie Kiefer.
I asked to have a substitute motion put into the red folders, which reflects what I believe is a slightly more accurate version of the history.
That's friendly.
The substitute is friendly. We're now looking at the substitute. Is there further discussion? Frank Proto.
We had a very good discussion at the committee meeting on this, and it was brought out that, and Martha helped me out with this, there was a... There's a software package that is available through the membership, or maybe Ed recollects that apparently... very, very good, and the only way we can really access the value of that package is to be members, and it really enhances the membership. I mean, we're getting quite a bit of value for this membership.
Pam Magasey.
And I'd just like to point out that this is half of the membership fee that we are sharing a membership with the City of Ithaca.
And Jim Dennis.
I'm only going to vote for this if Frank can tell me in 25 words or less what software is.
I'll email you, Jim.
Martha Roberts.
Just like that. Thank Frank for his support.
Are we ready to vote?
Threw you out of the water, didn't I?
Resolution O, substitute. All in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. And I believe there's one other. Mike Hattery.
Martha. Is Martha done?
Oh, are you done?
One other what?
I have one other. I had a question for Martha.
Now, one of the committee I was about to go to, her staff who's here. Okay. But Mike, please ask your question.
Resolution G, which I did not pull. Are the town and village being duly notified directly about this?
We asked Debbie Teeter to do that. If you could talk to some of the people that you know, say
I would rather not have to. I'd rather make sure that they are notified in writing. about this.
Yeah, I think it also ought to go not to just this, the mayor, but the whole... This is not really a town issue.
Sound like this is a conversation...
The town and village issue. I just want to make sure they're notified.
I'll make sure.
I'm going to ask for Facilities and Infrastructure Committee to report, so staff who are waiting can move on.
I think that that's me.
Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Kath and I met on April 17th. The main thing that I wanted to bring to your attention from our meeting is you all got information last month about the rescinding of some of our federal highway funds for various projects we had ongoing. And at the time of that meeting, there was no new response to our inquiries to try to reverse those decisions. There are still attempts being done to help us restore those funds so that we can finish the projects. In addition to that, the snow and ice contract with the state of New York that the county has, Ed let us know that we're not fully satisfied and hope that we can reimbursement rate from the state needs to change. And so we've notified the state of those concerns in that we have a desire to discontinue the service if we're not fully reimbursed for actual expenses that we spend on this. There will be more information to follow. Those were the main things from our meeting, and I have one resolution, unless there are the committee members that think I should report on something else. All right, we'll go to Resolution K, authorization to submit certificate of need application for 55 Brown Road for the Health Department, and I so move.
Tyke Randall seconds. Is there discussion? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution K? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Leslie. Now we're going to go back to the top of the agenda. Workforce Diversity Inclusion Committee. Is there a report?
WDIC will meet next week, but in the spirit of diversity, I know you've said this before, I just do want to remind people about voting in the school board elections. A lot of the discussion at the school board forums with the candidates centered around issues of equity and inclusion and diversity, and so it's something that we pay really keen attention to, so please let us up early so that we can go vote. I also do want to take the opportunity to say thanks to our emergency responders and the number of people who came out. It's the kind of thing in a community that shows our caring and inclusion, but unfortunately it takes a disaster sometimes for these things to happen. And we'd like to see a community that really rallies around supporting each other and being more inclusive as an everyday practice. But I do want to thank our emergency responders for the work they put in at the very tragic and unfortunate fire that happened just a few doors down from my house on West Clinton Street and ended up in life lost. It was really heart-wrenching to see the community support, and my condolences on behalf of all of us to go out to the family of the young lady who lost her life and to the community in general, because I know they too are hurting. So thanks to the community for being there and being as inclusive and supportive.
Thank you, Leslie. It's been brought to my attention, we actually have another staff member waiting for Resolution Q, which is a member filed resolution. So why don't I ask Tyke Randall to move that? That did not get withdrawn from the agenda.
Got to find it in my file again.
Last one.
There we go. I'm going to move Resolution Q, recommendation to continue sponsorship of the Women, Infants, and Children's Program.
Is there a second? Let's move between Claiborne seconds. Is there discussion? Nathan Shinagawa.
Yes, I don't mean to end discussion early, but I will motion to table this or Just because, but I won't do it immediately. Just let you know that I will. I mean, of course, I want people to speak if they want to speak. I just wanted to say that we heard some good news with the this delay over a year, and that there might be the possibility of additional funding, but we don't know what that funding exactly is. We don't have it in writing yet, so I think it'd be abrupt to kind of do this vote right now, especially when possibly, at least for me, for example, a lot more support could be garnered for a resolution like this if the information was actually available and in writing. Also, I don't think we should be making a decision about something next year. That's right now. So
at the end of that speech, are you moving to table?
I'm moving to table it, but if people want to speak, I don't want to stifle conversation.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Who would like to speak before that motion? Frank.
Yeah, Nathan, thank you for what you said. I had a conversation with Alice yesterday with regard to that item. We are awaiting for something in writing that clarifies it. But I think that with the two speakers that were here earlier this evening, I think it must be made clear that the county did not make this decision, that it was the state that said what has been said. And we're not the only county. That extension was given statewide. Excuse me. It wasn't Tompkins wasn't singled out as the only county to receive that. And Alice's explanation was that she feels that they're so far behind on doing paperwork that it was much easier just to extend it for a year. All the issues that were a concern before will probably continue to be a concern. I did ask her about the impact on the new building. And she said that the new building has already been, the design of the building has already been set up to accommodate this program, if indeed it still exists by the time we occupy the building.
Further discussion? Carol Chalk?
I'd just like to reiterate that regardless of what happens with this particular resolution now, a few months from now, a year from now, that nothing that I've seen has indicated anything other than total pleasure with the nature of this program, the WIC program, the current directorship of the program as being particularly strong and obviously garnering great support in the community and serving an awful lot of people who've been very happy to have the services. And I wanted to particularly commend Amy Frith, who I see is sitting here on her running of the program. Everything we heard from the constituents from the state in terms of how it's being run and the ways in which it serves our constituents is positive.
Greg, and then Tyke, and then I'll go back to Nathan.
I think Tyke's resolution here is I commend him for filing this resolution. I've not heard anyone say anything negative about the WIC program itself. But I think that there's a lot of what ifs or questions for me with the wording of this resolution. I think the program's going to be with us for a while. We're going to have time to make decisions, have dialogue. But I just, this locks us into I'm not sure what. So I won't support this resolution, even though I fully understand the satisfaction folks have with the program, the importance of the program.
Tyke Randall.
Yeah, you probably, in light of what was, came out in the press and Nathan's statement and the public statement, you probably thought I was losing my mind, I guess, that I didn't withdraw this. But I think Frank said it very well. This is sort of just dangling a carrot out there, people. It's going to come back. Who knows when, if it could be a year, it could be later than that, but it's still, there's still the employees and the people in the district that I represent, it's still an unknown, and they're afraid of that. So I'm a little bit leery of just letting this thing go to the wayside. Yes, I agree with Greg that, you know, because of the announcement, some of the wording is needs to be changed. The dates, I wasn't looking at it to lock us into a specific date at this point with the new news. I certainly was before that. But I, you know, the thing that was amazing about this is absolutely why I got into politics, because of public service, period. And this, you know, the galvanizing effect of this on the community, and in particular Groton, my, you know, it's a rural community. I know what the program does there. Yeah, there's been arguments that, you know, another community service agency could pick this up and the program would do well. And I'm not going to disagree with that, but, you know, I still believe strongly that it's a health program that belongs in the health department, because I look back, like I said, I shared in committee that this is near and dear to me, because, you know, unlike a, I don't know where most of you have come from, I don't know your past. I told you, I think at the last meeting, that I wasn't going to share much about the Randall family. I guess I lied a little bit about that. I guess you could know bits and pieces. I've done that along. We all bring strengths, and I think my strength certainly isn't numbers. It's compassion and having been there, I think. And that's what I'm, you know, when I'm appealing to my colleagues, is that, you know, sometimes it just isn't totally about numbers. It's about the people we serve and what it means to the underrepresented groups out there. I know what it feels like to, you know, we were on this, we had a bunch of health problems, I had five kids, one was a baby. I can honestly say that there was weeks that we fed our whole family on what WIC provided us. I know that sounds maybe impossible, but it absolutely did. That, and couple that with, you know, we had to swallow a lot of pride at that point in my life. And to be honest, it made myself and it made my family much better people because of it. And that's why I'm here. I would hope that, you know, we don't just drop this, because it's going to come back to us. That's why I kept the resolution on the table, and I hope, you know, hope that we can come to some agreement on it, whether we vote on this resolution or vote to table it. I just don't want it to go away.
Before we go to Nathan, I see Jim's hand.
I'm going to support tabling it for many of the reasons that people said, including Ty.
And Nathan.
Yeah, Tyke, I want to thank you for your very open and forthright words there. It's much appreciated, especially when you can talk from that perspective, which I think is very unique. And also, I'd like to thank, you know, all of the Health and Human Services Committee, Budget and Capital Committee, the Tompkins County Health Department staff, the WIC staff, because this has been quite the roller coaster ride, and I think people, for the most part, have been very civil about a very difficult issue. So with that, I'd like to move to table resolution Q.
Is there a second, Jim Dennis? I remind people this is non-debatable, but if we table it at any moment in the next year, any one person during a meeting can ask to lift it from the table. It does not need to be on an agenda to lift it from the table.
For years?
Well, indefinite period of time. All in favor of tabling this motion? It looks like 10. Opposed? 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're going to go back. I think we're done with all the resolutions, so we should just have committee reports and sail through to our election voting duties if we're quick about this. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee had quite a discussion on the WIC program, as you might suspect. We've had most of that again this evening. And during the last couple of weeks, I'd like to echo some of Nathan's remarks with regard to his concentration on budget. My concentration and my committee's concentration has been on the health and the retention piece. And I think Amy and all of the staff really came through. And we're still receiving Carol, I don't know if you are yellow postcards. At any rate, in addition to that, the we had an update on the co-location with Lifelong, the COFA situation along with Lifelong, and that's moving along rather nicely. The MOU is supposed to be coming out here, at least I was told that, but we'll get another update at our June 4th meeting. In addition, we had to postpone once again, and this will come up next month, Sylvia Allinger and Bob DeLuca's presentation on autism. We very much want to hear that, but we keep running into a snag with time. That will come up again. And I think, for the sake of brevity, I will end it there. Just to let you know that the Lakeside situation continues to move along very nicely, and they are advertising for positions. I want to thank all of you that, me personally, but I think Nathan, myself, there were several of us that were involved in going to the state, and it seems to have borne fruit. So thank you for all the support. It isn't over yet. The next committee meeting is June 4th. Please come.
Questions, Julie Kiefer?
I'm not sure I understood you correctly. With respect to the COFA Lifelong topic, did you say an MOU would be forthcoming soon?
I understood that they were working out through the facilities some understanding as to what space would be. The health committee is simply receiving the information. We're not voting on the whether it's a good idea or not, but we're being kept abreast of it by Lisa. The facilities committee is actually doing the actual work because it involves configuring the building and whatnot. Lisa's been keeping us up to date on it, and my recollection was that there was supposed to be something in writing as to what the space need might be and who might go in what space, but they were working on developing some sort of a written document between the two organizations.
Do you have any idea when the feasibility study's results will be available?
I do not. Okay. Does anyone... Leslin, do you have any recollection as to when that might be coming out?
No.
Because of the facilities? I'm sorry. Dewey, I can find that out if you like.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll move on to Human Resources Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. We will be having a meeting for sure on June 5th, and I would, much to your dismay, I would like to request a very short executive session at the end of the meeting dealing with TC3 salaries.
Tonight?
Negotiations.
Yep. I'm sorry?
Tonight.
Very brief. On to Budget and Capital Committee. Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mike. The Budget and Capital Committee had a very exciting agenda. We had a WIC discussion. We also talked about the possibility of bringing back a kind of a position review committee to look at any vacant positions and having it go through a review process in order for them to be filled, if they're filled. I may put something in writing together, maybe not at the next budget meeting, but the one following immediately after that. Another thing that was discussed is the formation of a citizens advisory panel as relating to the budget, specifically in helping strategize directions on where to go in terms of looking at reductions in spending. And I ask that all people, that all legislators, please provide me with some names for potential individuals, and I will be bringing forth a proposal about this specific committee at our special budget meeting, I believe, on May 29th. Which reminds me, on May 29th, at 3:30, we're going to be having a meeting, and I invite all legislators to come. Department heads will be asked to come as well, in which we're going to be looking at a list
not list, I don't even want to use that word anymore. Ooh, wow. Looking at strategic directions in which the legislature can go through. There's been many discussions. Administration has looked at areas in which to reduce spending. So have department heads. And there's also been meetings between those two entities over the past couple of years. And we'd like to have a meeting to kind of synthesize all of these different ideas and kind of, at least from the budget committee's perspective, look at some directions in which we can go for reductions in spending. And so that meeting is going to be happening on May 29th, 3:30. That's a Thursday. It's a special budget meeting. And hopefully we'll have a fruitful and good discussion there. With that, that concludes my chair's report.
That's right before our 25th.
Yes, and we're going to work extra hard to make sure there's a very concise agenda and a structured discussion so that we can get people out as soon as possible, ideally by around 5 o'clock, so they can go home, quickly change, and go to the 25-year dinner at Dubai.
Okay, Julie Kiefer.
The Citizens Advisory Panel that you're talking about now, there was an earlier one which brought, I guess, business experience to the table to help us look at our budget process.
Yes.
But you're talking about something quite different. You're asking people to come and say, how do we cut and what do we cut? Is that what you're saying?
Not quite. What we are going to do is, in essence, I suppose you could say that, but what we're doing is we're actually giving a very specific scope. We don't want to tell this committee, this potential group, to say, hey, look around the county and find stuff to cut. You know, that's not the intention whatsoever. I mean, you know, we will, if we do this, we will be providing a very specific mandate with a very specific scope. And that's why I brought it forth to the budget committee last week, so we could begin initial discussions for it. And it's also why I'll put it in writing so that it's clear. And, you know, I want this to be a very deliberate and thought-out process.
Well, okay, I guess I'm not really sure what you're going to put in that scope.
Yes.
Will it be coming to the legislature before you act on it?
No, I don't believe it comes to the legislature. I don't think it's a resolution even. I think actually that I can appoint that as budget chair, but I'm not going to just jump ahead and do that. And of course, I want to have all the input of everybody, which is why I brought it forth, and I want people to review it in writing because I don't want this to be a singular decision.
Thank you. I look forward to getting it in
writing. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Martha Robertson.
When Mike did this a couple years ago, there was quite a commitment from administration to give people tons of information.
Yes.
I mean, and kind of every meeting there were new questions, and Norma would come back with more packets of information.
Yes.
Is the administration prepared to do that?
I believe so. Yes.
Thank you, Nathan. We move on to Public Safety Committee. Greg Stevenson, Chair.
The committee met Friday, May 16th. The sheriff was present. He introduced Captain Derek Osborne, who was promoted from senior investigator, and also Under-Sheriff Rick Tubbs, who was promoted from the investigator ranks as well. Deputy County Administrator Sean Martel Moore presented us with a real nice executive summary. It was pretty thick, actually, of information related to public access defibrillation. The committee's got their hands on that now and is digesting all the information contained within. Lee Shurtleff was present. He attended with Deputy Chief Tom Parsons from the Ithaca Fire Department. They talked jointly about alarm system upgrades and how the Department of Emergency Response receives alarms, particularly non-verbal alarms. The deputy chief from Ithaca told us about the city's kind of how the city does alarms, and the city charges some fees related to alarms that come directly from locations within the city to the Department of Emergency Response. The county also has alarms that come from the county directly to the Department of Emergency Response, but there's no fees. It's essentially a free service. And they talked about the possibilities down the road for us if it continues, if the city charges a fee but the county doesn't, folks could dump the city by coming directly to the county, and all the different pitfalls of this system if the city and the county weren't coordinated in their approach. This is a potential revenue item for the county, which will probably make it attractive, at least on the surface, to almost all of us. And there are certain benefits to the city and the county acting in a coordinated manner here. So the committee expressed interest and essentially sent Lee off to develop and refine his concepts more, and we'll have more of that coming shortly. Lastly, yesterday I had the opportunity to attend the Criminal Justice Data Sharing Technical Assistance Workshop, and from a person who's involved in public safety but not on the criminal justice side, it was pretty enlightening for me. I wanted to thank Paula Younger, Norma Jane, Greg Potter, and Marsha Lynch. They all did all the work to put this together, essentially. It was pretty well attended. Police agencies, representatives from various courts, including the city, rural justice courts, the Tompkins County courts, and the state court system attended. Our DA's office was representative along along with several police agencies, the state police, local village police, and the city police all had representatives in attendance. We were treated to some real experts in the field from the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services and some related subject matter experts, and also heard from the Deputy Commissioner of Program Management for Nassau County's data sharing effort. And listening to the head of a data sharing effort from a county perspective, albeit a much bigger county than ours, was very interesting, and it allowed, I think, people to think about what's possible at a county level for sharing data. There were a lot of excellent questions, and I think we're poised to kind of make the next step into following up some of this information, and I think we'll possibly be able to coordinate data sharing efforts in the county better for following through with this. So I look forward to the future of this topic here. And that concludes the report.
And Greg, was the topic of governance structure broached in that technical assistance workshop?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Greg? Dooley.
Is there some summary of your meeting available for non-attendees?
There is, or I should say there will be. The whole day, Marsha was tapping away on the keys of her laptop, as she's doing now. So I suspect at some point she'll have a document that shared.
Great.
And I think we're possibly poised for kind of a phase two if we can get a plan.
I think so. As I said, I was impressed by the number of. I guess I didn't know what to expect. The justice courts were incredibly well represented. I thought the rural justices in particular had tons of questions and excellent questions, and I think they made particularly good use of the resources that were at the front of the room that they could access. So I thought it was great, and I think it'll keep going.
Great. Thank you. Ready to move on to minutes from our previous meetings. We'd like to move minutes from May 6th. Frank Frodo moves them. Tyke Randall seconds. Any changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. And motion to adjourn into executive session.
Yeah.
Move to executive session by Jim Dennis, second by Tyke Randall. All in favor? We don't expect any action out of executive session, so we can cut down the cameras and take a few-minute break. Thank you.